Well, that is something of Ireland. And tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Lá éile Fádraig, fe vashagwive gulair, as they say in Irish. So, Our Lady of Knock, sung by Frank Patterson. Now, yes, we are working our way through the letter that Pope Francis sent out to the church, a very important letter about marriage and the family. Now, sometimes we get a bit tired, perhaps, of hearing about this, but let's listen now for a few minutes to some of the ideas that Pope Francis speaks about in chapter 5 of that letter. The heading he calls Love Made Fruitful. Chapter 5 of the joy of love. Now, we saw in chapter 4 that love in marriage grows. It grows. It's not static. It's something that must grow, and therefore it must be nourished. It must be helped. You must work on it. You just won't fall in love the day you got married and stay absolutely in love without making any effort for the rest of your life. No, it must be nourished. You must work on it. Sacrifice is involved. Thinking of others is involved. Service of others. So we saw all that last week. We cannot take the other person for granted. And Pope Francis gave us a beautiful meditation on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 7. Now, today, however, we're looking at chapter 5. Now, the Pope begins by saying, love always gives life. Now, from this love, married love between a husband and wife, children are born. Now, and these children, born of love, are a living reality of the parents' love. They are a permanent sign of the love between parents. So, the child born from you, husband and wife in the family, born from the love you have for each other, is a permanent sign of the love you had for each other. The Pope goes on to say, children are a new life. They are welcomed as a gift. Children are loved even before they arrive. You know, when a couple is waiting, especially, I suppose, for their first child, you know, there's great excitement, there's great talk, and the child is loved even before it is born, like God's love for us. God's love for us, we do not earn it. It's given freely. It's there waiting for us. The Pope says it's a disaster in the modern world when children are seen as a mistake, when children are unwanted, rejected, abandoned, robbed of their childhood and their future. This is a disaster in the modern world, and it is everywhere. A modern world that's always proclaiming human rights, always talking about liberty, always talking about me, always talking about my rights, and so on, and making declarations of human rights, and then to blame the children for the sins and the mistakes of their adults. So to say that a child is a mistake is, for the Pope, a great evil and a great miscarriage of love towards that child. The Pope says, while it is true, large families are a joy for the church, but, the church encourages responsible parenthood. Not planned, but that famous crowd, no, that is a pagan organization. But the church encourages responsible parenthood, which involves not unlimited procreation. In other words, not having, we're not saying have as many children as absolutely possible. We're not saying that. No, we large family are a joy in the church, but parents must exercise responsible parenthood. You know, you have to ask yourselves, look, here we are living in a tiny flat. We have already three children. We're living on the top of a high-story building. Where can the children pray? Where can the children sleep? Have we food for the children? Can we educate them? We must look at that. There must be an awareness of what is involved in rearing children. Couples must take into account their situation, their space, their ability, and use natural family planning. So, yes, large families, fine. If the couple wants them, it's up to yourselves. The church is not, and doesn't make decisions. It's you who make these decisions. But we encourage responsible parenthood. Are we able for another child? And so on. Now, the Pope goes on to say that in pregnancy, a woman joins God. A woman, a mother, joins with God to bring a miracle of new life into the world. You remember in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, I think, in Jeremiah chapter 1, where the Lord, speaking to Jeremiah, says, before you were born in the womb, before you were born in the womb, I knew you. Note, God saw that little baby in the mother, who was the mother of Jeremiah, in her womb as a person, as a child, and God knew that child. The Pope says, each child is a gift from God. And he says each child has a place in God's heart from the beginning, from eternity. The Pope says we may know through science the genetic code, but God alone knows the child's deepest identity. So we may know many scientific facts about this little baby which has just been born, its genetic code and scientific qualities and dimensions and so on. But God alone, the Pope says, knows the child's deepest identity, what that child in its deepest soul, in its heart, who it is, what it is, how vulnerable it is, what it needs to grow, its a desire for love, its desire for life. Now, and then the Pope says, the love of parents is the means by which God can love the child. So how is God to love a child that has just been born? The answer is, God can only love the child through you, parents. So the love of parents is the instrument, the means, the channel, the method by which God can love a child. It's through you. Parents are, the Pope says, the interpreters of God's love. They are the ones who translate, who make real the love that God has for that child. So the love you have for a child is really, it's the first evangelization. It's the first proclamation of faith. Your love for the child is the witness to that child that it is loved by God and that God's love is reaching it. You know, on the other hand, as you know, I mean, cruelty, you know, to children, rejection of children, beating and abandoning of children, little children who are very badly mistreated and abused in all kinds of ways. Can they ever grow up to trust? Can they ever grow up to love? Because they have never experienced love. You know, sometimes when you speak to young people, you know, who have had very negative, bad experiences of their childhood, who are not wanted, who are mistreated, when you speak about them, about God being a father, they are really scandalized. How can this God that you say is good be a father? Because their recollection of that word is very negative. And so the Pope says we must then, parents, father and mother, show concrete love. And we do show concrete love largely to little children. We give them the gift of a personal name. Each child is given a name. And look how beautiful the names here in Africa are. Rifilwe, Simpiwe, we have been given him. Isn't that a beautiful concept? We have been given him. Rifilwe, or Impo, a gift, or Sipo, gift. You know, these are beautiful names, and that shows that how precious and how treasured children were traditionally in African society. We have to look around, especially in urban areas today, and say what is happening. The child is given a beautiful personal name because we love, that's a sign of love. Again, we share language, you know, when the child speaks his first word, baba or mama, whatever it may be, it's sort of the talk of the town, talk of the house at least, then the child is beginning to learn our language. And of course with language, culture and so many other things. When the child makes its first steps, it stands up, it walks for the first time. and it's received with love and encouraged. And the Pope says giving the children looks, to look at them with love and the brightness of a smile. In all these ways, we show love to children. Now, the Pope goes on to emphasize that each parent is not just the job of the mother to rear children. It is her job, but it is equally the job of a father. Each parent contributes in a distinctive way to the rearing of a child. The child, really needs the love of its father. It needs the love of its mother. But there's a third thing. The child needs a father and mother who love each other. You know, this gives a child tremendous security, tremendous confidence. You know, when a child grows up in a home where the father respects its mother, where the mother loves its father, you know, what a joy, what confidence, what security is in that child's heart. The Pope emphasizes this. Now, he goes on then to speak about the different people in the child's life. First of all, there is the mother. The child has need for a mother, especially at the beginning. The Pope says being an orphan has deep effects. You know, being an orphan, not knowing your mother and your father, has a deep, deep impression, and I'm afraid not positive, in the life and soul of a child. Now, the Pope accepts the fact that women today need to work, they need to study, they have their own personal goals. But he says we must be careful because the weakening of the maternal presence, the weakening of the mother's presence with its feminine qualities poses a grave risk for the world, he says. You know, if mothers are never there for their little babies, for their children, the Pope feels that this will be a great risk for the world. I'm quoting the Pope. He says, I certainly value feminism. I value feminism. But one that does not demand uniformity or negate motherhood. Because in some circles, extreme circles of some people, they look down upon the fact that a woman becomes a mother. They actually see motherhood as a negative thing. The Pope condemns such an attitude because motherhood is the greatest human vocation that ever was. So motherhood, he says, is absolutely essential for society. And then to quote him, the Pope says, a society without mothers would be dehumanized. A society without mothers would be dehumanized. This is all in the letter of the Pope, and that is Article 174. He says, without mothers, faith would lose a good part of its profound warmth. So faith would lose a good part of its ability to bring warmth and joy and peace into the world. Now, a father, a good father, is just as necessary as a caring mother. The Pope says a good father is as necessary as a caring mother. We know that in Western culture, in a particular way, the father is absent sometimes or is distant. Now, there's reasons for that. He can be missing, just gone off, or vanished. But then because of work or something, he becomes a migrant. The Pope says, true, you know, perhaps in the past some fathers were authoritarian, that is, they were total despots or total dictators in their family. No, we don't want that kind of a father, the Pope says. But fathers are sometimes absent because they're caught up in themselves and in their work. You know, I remember a story of a little girl. Her mother had died, and she was being reared by her father, who was a very busy professor. And continually, the little girl, who was by herself, she was an only child, would come into the study where her father was working there during the day and even the evening, and she would ask the father to play with her. The father would always say, "Go away, go away." And so, you know, when that girl became 16, 17 years of age, she did go away. You know, she had no home, she had no belongings, she had no love. Unfortunately, the story is that she became a prostitute, threw herself at any man who came to her. And then there is a legend that says that when she died, St. Peter said to Jesus, there's a lady coming, hoping to get into heaven now, who has lived a very, very negative life. And... what should I do with her? And Jesus said, let her in, but I'm waiting for her father. In other words, you know, parents are often responsible for the way children grow up. So some men are taken up by entertainment, by politics, by the media, by their science, by their self-importance and so on, making big speeches in the world, but neglecting the home and the little children. So what does the Pope say to fathers? Be close. Be close to your children. When they play, be there. When they work, work with them. When they are carefree and joyful, be carefree and joyful. When the child is distressed or worrying or crying, be there for the child. Protect the child who is being bullied in school. The Pope says, perhaps today some fathers feel unnecessary, but he says the children need to find a father waiting for them when they come home. They need you. I'm quoting from the Pope. Here is another saying of the Pope I think you should think about, all of it. We should all think about. The Pope says, without a father, children grow up before they are ready. Now that is, I think, a deep statement and something we could spend some time thinking about. Without a father, children grow up before they are ready. You know, little boys of 12 and 13 acting as little men, girls of 14 and 15 with no father, throwing themselves at the first boy or man who smiles at them, yeah? So, take that into your heart. Without a father, children grow up before they are ready. Now, the Pope says, but sometimes a couple or a people are not married, they don't have children. But he says, motherhood or fatherhood is not only biological, it's not only physical motherhood. There's all kinds of motherhood, there's all kinds of fatherhood. You know, you can care and nurture. You know, there's some wonderful, for example, priests and nuns, for example, unmarried people, wonderful aunts and uncles who are been the soul of young people's lives. The Pope speaks about the beauty of adoption taken out of love. Going on then to conclude, the Pope speaks of the extended family, how it enriches the children, you know. And then he goes on to children, please care for your parents. You know, in a truly humane Ubuntu society, children will care for their parents. Parents must never be abandoned or ignored. He quotes Psalm from the Bible 71, do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. So this is Psalm 71. Do not cast me off in the time of my old age, and forsake me not when my strength is spent. So care of the elderly is so important. Elderly people, grandparents, for the continuity. A sense of continuity in life and in humanity. Grandparents, you know, without them there is a lack of history, a lack of memory. And memory is necessary for growth. If neglected, the family and society decline. And the neglect of parents, old parents, is a deadly virus. And so the Pope ends up by saying, if a society has a large and warm heart, then all people, widows and widowers, singles and single mothers, the sick and the inhibited, the separated and the unmarried, all find a place in a society where it's based upon love and based upon families that care for each other. So we listen now to the next hymn. This is Jesu Nampa. As from Musa King. Radio Veritas, Archbishop William Slattery. It's 22 minutes past 5. Change of year. You have been with me now for almost an hour and 20 minutes. Thank you very much. It's lovely to be with you. I hope you've got something what we've said today. I want to conclude but just a few minutes continuing our talk about justice and peace. You know, I was delighted to see in so many dioceses and also in Swami a wonderful group of justice and peace people involved now in the everyday life of people, to improve it, to protect people, to offer them security, to offer them openings and so on. And what I'm trying to say in these few minutes is that the Catholic Church has a very profound and extensive teaching about society and about justice in society and about peace in society. You know, in 1891, when there was chaos in the world between huge numbers of poor workers and a small number of very rich capitalists, when people could be fired from work, when people died very easily because of poor conditions of working and housing, the Pope stepped in and issued a famous letter demanding that the human state of the man, of the worker, of the woman who is working, that must be taken into consideration. In other words, you might be a very rich man and 10 people are looking for one job, and you can get this man extremely cheaply. Like happens here in South Africa with people from other countries. Employers employ them because they can get them so cheaply. The Pope says that is not the chief way to judge what wage you should pay. No, adjudicating, in arriving at the wage you should pay, you must look at that person, their needs, so that they can, you pay them so that they can live and their family a human life. That is what determines. Many people were very, very angry with Pope Leo XIII when he came out with this letter. And the Church has continued a whole series of letters with many different popes. Now, I'm jumping over Pope Pius XI in 1931, who wrote against totalitarian regimes and said that citizens must have a say, you know, in the voting and participate in the life of the country. Remember, you know, in the time of Leo XIII in 1891, no woman was able to vote in any country in the world, and only 8% of the men were voting in Europe in these days, and those 8% were, of course, rich men, rich people, and that's how the coloured people were got off the voting rights here in the Cape in South Africa later on. Now, today I just want to look a little bit at two letters brought out by Pope John the 23rd. Now, he's a saint. John the 23rd, a very, very loved and popular pope. He became a pope already at 76 years of age in 1958. And almost five years later, in 1963, he died. But in between, he was very concerned because he was very close to people, and he came from a poor, poor background himself. His family were very, very poor farmers, and he grew up in those conditions. He had to be helped with finance to go to the seminary and to pursue his studies. And so he always remained very, very close to poor people. And so he issued two famous letters called calling the Church Mater et Magistra, mother and teacher, and also another letter called Pacem in Terris, that is, regarding peace in the world. And this one he addressed not only to the Catholic Church, to all people of goodwill. Now, at this time of John the 23rd, you know, the world was becoming, you know, much better than it was in Leo the 13th's time, but also industry was becoming much more organized, and profits, money, was what determined the relationship between employer and employees. And the Pope was feeling that, you know, profits are, again, inadequate when it comes to estimating wages. It must not be determined by the market or the powerful. It must allow a truly human life for those who are employees. Now, he also advocated that employees should have a share in the management, a say in how the factory or the project is working. He called it for greater distribution of the wealth of the world. Remember that it was at a time, you know, when Pope John the 23rd was Pope, it was the beginning of the end of colonialism. You know, already in 1957, the first African states were beginning to shake off the terrible weight of being colonial slaves. And here in South Africa, there was the rise, well, I mean, the intensification of the struggle against apartheid. Already 2 years before, we had the Freedom Charter, the ANC youth, Mandela and all his colleagues. Now, the church in those years, the Catholic Church here in South Africa, condemned apartheid. We were the first group to condemn apartheid as intrinsically evil, evil in itself. There's nothing good about it. Again, we condemned it in those. And then it was the time for the battle to hold on to Catholic schools and to keep us away from Bantu education. It was the time of Sharpeville. Again, it was the time of the major powers. It was the time of the Cold War. That means they were not physically fighting, but they were hating each other. The two major powers in the world had now become United States of America and the USSR, or what we can call Russia and the Soviet republics. Now, the struggle, the intense struggle between them, we felt it in Angola ourselves, was everywhere felt, even in Africa. Remember, it was the time of the Cuban crisis. You know, Cuba is an island not far from the United States, and Fidel Castro was allowing Russia to place nuclear weapons. Now, a nuclear weapon is a weapon that could wipe, one of them could easily wipe out all living things, not only people, but birds and everything that is alive in, say, Johannesburg. One. And there are tens of thousands of these nuclear weapons. And so when Russia began to mount nuclear weapons in Cuba, President Kennedy ordered them to stop. And we were on the brink of a nuclear war when Russia did pull back. Now, it was at that time that Pope John the 23rd was appealing and begging. He called these great powers together, begging them through all the means at his disposal to create a peace. And so his great letters are about that. He spoke about, you know, the unfair competition between nations and individuals, you know, between nations rather. You know, you take at the moment, we in South Africa, we want to get onto the markets. We want to sell our things in the big markets overseas. But they say, well, we will allow you to do that if you allow us free access to your markets. Now, we cannot really compete with them economically and in the amount of goods. And so we are often dumped with all kinds of cheap things from overseas, which we have to, and which kills our local industry. Now, the Pope spoke against this. He spoke on behalf of farmers, exiles, ethnic groups, and on women. And he called for a greater role for women, respect for new states. He spoke against that laissez-faire liberal capitalism, and he also demanded of workers that they must remember that not only do they have rights, but they also have duties. And he spoke very strongly against the arms race, where billions was being spent on these atomic weapons to destroy each other. And he favoured very much the establishment of some kind of a world authority. In other words, he would have been in favour of the United Nations. Ngalawa mazi, si zobonana, ngebi kezayo, si abonka kulo, di abonani katele manje, masi tandaze.